Amen. Thank you, Vanessa, for praying, and great job, Ricky, with the announcements. Definitely some exciting stuff coming up. I'm looking forward to the 5K. I did a couple of practice ones this week, so I know I can at least finish it. So just got to keep working at it. So hopefully Friday night's a success. My main goal is to help raise some funds for Chance for Africa. But if Anthony's coming for me, he's going to crush me probably, but I'm super excited. And that event Saturday is a great opportunity to take advantage of as well. And so, excited for midweek tonight and to do this lesson with you guys. I'm going to share my screen here. Let's see. There we go. Hope you can all see that. Let me just get up here. Great. Cool. Caleb, can you give me a thumbs up if you could see the PowerPoint good? All right, cool. So tonight we're going to be talking about having quality time with God. And, you know, we typically call this our quiet time, that we have a quiet time every day. And I'm definitely not in any way vouching for us to change that. I'm totally happy with that. Hey, I need to have my quiet time. But let's remember that the main point of the quiet time is to have quality time with God. That is what a quiet time is all about, is about, you know, getting in a time of quiet, a time of peace, a time, you know, where you slow down, you set aside a little bit of time and you have some peace and quiet, but not to sleep, not to daydream, but to connect with your Lord, to connect with your Heavenly Father, to connect with God. And so this lesson tonight is titled Quality Time with God. And I don't know where you're at with your quiet times right now. Maybe you're having them every day, you're digging in, you're loving it, you're learning, you're connecting. Maybe it's hit or miss. Maybe it's, you know, there's a few times a week that it doesn't happen and you're really wanting to, you know, grow in that and have consistent time with God every day. Or maybe it's not going well. Maybe it's rough and you feel guilt about that. Maybe you feel apathetic about that. I don't know how you feel about it, but maybe it's not going well. And so wherever you're at tonight, I hope this lesson will help you, because it is so important for us as God's offspring that we make it a big priority every day to get quality time with Him, to connect with Him. And so just to jump in here, I want to start off talking about, oh, you guys see that? That was for Caleb right there. I don't know if you saw it, maybe you missed it. You know, that Caleb was talking to me today about making like excellent presentations. And I was with him while I was working on this. And I was like, Caleb, how about this right here? Look at that. So that was a quick little, the thanks, Chels. The curtains are opened. So kind of just start off here with the what and why of a quiet time. You know, what is a quiet time? I think mainly it's, you know, a focused time to communicate with God, a focused time to connect with God, right? Any good relationship needs communication. If you don't have good communication, you don't have a good relationship. And so our main purpose in life, the main thing we're here for, is to have a relationship with God. So we need to communicate with God. God needs to communicate with us. And so He's given us two main things for doing that. And one of those is His Word, the Bible. So we have the Bible to communicate with God, to hear Him, to read His Word so that He can speak to us. And then He's also given us prayer. He's given us this spiritual discipline where we can actually talk to God. And He hears us, He listens to us. And when you add faith to the mix and you believe that the Bible is God's word, and you believe that God is listening when you pray, then a quiet time kind of becomes this supernatural experience where you really believe, hey, I'm building my relationship with God. I'm spending time with God. I'm connecting with God. I'm communicating with God. And so quiet times, when done right, when done with faith, are really a divine and sacred thing. You're spending time talking to and communicate and hearing from God. So that's what a quiet time is. And when I think about the purpose of a quiet time, why we would have one, why we should have one, these kind of three words came up as main reasons behind getting that time with God every day. And that's relationship, discipleship, and lordship, right? You want to spend that time with God every day focused on communicating with him because you're in a relationship with God, because he's your best friend. He's your heavenly father. He's your savior. He's your king. You have a relationship with him. And obviously we don't want to just be religious. We don't want to just be walking just living by tradition. We want to really be connected with God, to know God, for God to know us. And so, we need that time to not just be so busy all the time, but where we slow down and really are building our relationship with God. Second reason is our discipleship, right? We said, Jesus is Lord of my life. I follow him now. I'm trying to be more like Jesus. I'm trying to learn from Jesus, to follow him. Well, where is he? He's not somewhere physically that you can go follow him. You have to go to the Bible. You have to go to the Word. You can't be Jesus's disciple and not be in the Bible. That is how we follow him. That's where we see him. That's where we hear him. And so just to be a disciple, you need that time. And if you're a disciple every day, which is what Jesus called us to in Luke chapter 9, right, to follow him daily, then we should be in his Word daily, right? And so part of the purpose behind a quiet time is discipleship. And lastly is lordship, right? If you really believe Jesus is the Lord of your life, that he's your guide, he's your main teacher, influence, who you should obey, your master, your Lord, then you need that time to find out, well, what pleases him? Who is he? Right? He is my God. He is my King. Who is he? Let me connect with him and obey him and learn from him and worship him. And so relationship, discipleship, and lordship are three main purposes behind a daily quiet time. And I do think that our heart behind all of this should be one of amazement. You really stop and think about it. And this might take, some meditation afterwards tonight, but maybe before you go to bed, just embrace a little bit of just contemplation on how amazing it is that the God who created the universe, who spoke stars into existence, designed the ecosystem and the planet and all the animals and nature and the human body, the God who did all of that actually has given words to us that we could hear him speak. It's amazing. And we should not take the Bible for granted, but be amazed that we have this text and that God has spoken to us. What an opportunity, what a gift. And secondly, we should be amazed that he listens to us, right? I'm out sharing my faith on campus. You could hardly get some people to even listen to you speak, some other human being. There's people you'd love to talk to and they don't give you attention, or there's so many people on this planet that if you tried to get their ear, you couldn't get it. And yet God is waiting for you to talk to him, asking you to talk to him, patient when you talk to him. God actually wants to listen to you. Wow, what an honor, what a gift, what a privilege. Not a right, but a privilege that we have a God who will listen to us. And these are just some scriptures. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, and it's all about how amazing God's word is. We should be amazed like that. Psalm 8, chapter 4, David says, "Who am I and what is my family that God is mindful of me?" In Jeremiah 29, God says, "You will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." And we should definitely not feel burdened by having to have a quiet time, not feel, under compulsion to have one or guilt. We should feel amazed. Wow, God wants to hear me, and God has spoken to me. And that should definitely be the heart that we come into a quality time with God with. And so I hope that helps your heart and your motivation behind having a daily quiet time. And so kind of have two main points for us today, and that's how to have a quality time in the Word and a quality time in prayer. Hope you guys are with me. So let's jump into this first point here, having a quality time in the Word. And I would love to propose to you to view your time reading the Bible as time sitting at Jesus's feet. Right, that you're not just reading some book, just like a school textbook or a novel or something, that it's different than any other book. And in John chapter 1, it said the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that Jesus was the Word in the flesh. And so when we're sitting, you know, when we're sitting at the feet of the word, when we're reading the Bible, we're really sitting at Jesus's feet. And I think that's a really powerful image of reading the Bible, is sitting at Jesus's feet. And in Matthew chapter 4, there's so many verses on this. It's honestly, it's really hard to pick. But in Matthew chapter 4, we get a window into how important the word of God was to Jesus. And he's our Lord. He's our best friend. He's our Savior. He's who we're following. So let's look at his heart with the word. And so Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And we know that Jesus used the word to defend himself against Satan's temptation. And listen to what it says here. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 right there. If you want to have a quiet time on this topic, tomorrow morning, read Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know, verses 1-9, you could keep going, but it was hard for me to not include it in my lesson. It's amazing about really being so careful to obey God's word, because we know that it's going to lead us to an amazing place. And for them, it was the promised land. And for us, following God's word leads to heaven. And so we want to be so careful to follow God's word. And that's what Jesus was doing here, right? He was starving. I can't imagine. The longest I've ever fasted was 3 days. I cannot imagine how hungry you'd be after fasting for 40 days, right? Just think about that. And we would want food so badly. And honestly, our bodies would need food so badly. But Jesus makes it clear here that he did not live on physical food more than he lived on spiritual food. Spiritual food took precedence over physical food. Right? He says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Is that your heart? Is that your conviction? I don't live just on food. I don't live on, you know, money. I don't live on my passions or my career. I live on the word of God. That is my life source, right? That was Jesus's heart. And we say that phrase live on, like, oh, this is all I have to live on. This is what I have to live on about other things, right? But Jesus said that about the word of God. That should be what we live on as well. Because the truth is, more than physical beings, we are spiritual beings. Our bodies will last some maybe 80 years or so, but our soul will last forever. It's incomparable, right? The difference between those. And so more than physical, we are spiritual beings, and we know we need food, right? You know you need to eat. If you go half a day without eating, you're off, you're hangry. Right? If you go a whole day, you need to eat something. Consider how you feel when you have fasted, if you have before, right? And here's the thing, guys, is the way that our bodies need physical food, our spiritual health needs the word of God. You know, when you don't eat, you get tired, you get weak, your mood gets thrown off, you don't think clearly. You know that's true physically. Do you know that spiritually? Do you go a day or even days without reading the Bible thinking, I'll be fine? And maybe you don't feel the effects right away like you do if you don't eat physical food. But, you know, rest assured, if you keep going that way, you will become weak spiritually. You might already be weak spiritually, not even realize it yet. You'll start thinking wrong spiritually. You'll start thinking more worldly, right? You might be more vulnerable to temptation. Your attitude might be off. Your mood, your willingness to be giving, willingness to share your faith, willingness to show up to meetings of the body, right? You're going to be spiritually weaker if you're not feeding your soul the word of God. You know, I've really had a conviction. I need the Bible every day. And there have been some days where I missed my quiet time in the morning and I got in bed at night and I was like, oh snap, I didn't read today. And so, you know, I quick grab my Bible, read for 5 or 10 minutes and then go to bed. But you know, maybe I got something out of it, maybe I didn't, but it was a conviction of, I know my soul needs the word of God, right? And you might go a long time without eating and then realize, oh, I got to eat something. And you don't just go, oh, I'll eat tomorrow. You might not have time to have this amazing meal. to cook something elaborate like Manny did tonight, right? But you're going to grab something. You're going to grab a banana. You're going to grab a quick bowl of cereal. It might not be the best meal, but you grab something because you know you need it. And that's got to be our conviction with the Bible as well. Is, man, I know I need something. Make sure I have good meals most days, but at least something every day. You know, so we're clear on what happens to us if we don't get time in the Word. But what about when we do, right? What are all the benefits? Think about how you feel when you eat healthy, when you have a good meal, when, you know, you're hungry, you're tired, and then you have a good meal, right? It energizes you. It brings joy, vibrancy, and health. It prolongs your life even if you eat healthier. You can literally live longer if you eat healthier. It can help, you know, a lot of maybe sickness or things you were feeling not great about, right? And in your body or whatever, things could start to feel better, right? You could think more clearly. The same is true spiritually. I love Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, blessed, which blessed means in good position, in favor, could even mean happy, right? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. And we need to be careful with those things, that we don't walk how the world does, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, not a few times a week, day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You know, if you really plant yourself in the Word of God and let it take root in your heart, in your mind, and in your life, you will be like a tree planted by a stream that is well nourished. And when it's time to bear fruit, it bears fruit, right? When it's time for you to be spiritually fruitful as a Christian, you're making a difference. You're being more like Jesus. You're helping others. You're yielding fruit in season. Your leaf does not wither, right? When the heat comes, when pressure comes, when hard times come, when stress comes, you don't cave under it. You don't fall under it. You don't lose faith under it, but you're firm. You're deeply rooted. You're strong during it. And whatever you do, whether it's school, whether it's your job, whether it's your relationships or dating or, you know, sharing your faith or whatever you do, prospers. That you're going to learn how to do life so much better and with the right heart, the right mind, the right motivation, if you're somebody who's really in the Word. And so the consequences of not being in the Word are great, but the blessings of being in the Word are even greater. And so let's be like trees planted by the stream. Now, before I get into some practicals here, I just want to read one more verse. I think this is an amazing story. And it contrasts two women, Mary and Martha. And Mary is really an incredible example here and became an incredible disciple of Jesus. And I believe Martha did as well. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And so Martha was being hospitable. She's opening her home to Jesus. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, I'm sure Martha wasn't expecting that. She was probably expecting Jesus to, you know, jump on Mary to go help or whatever. But I bet Martha never forgot this lesson from Jesus. And it's about what's most important, which is connecting with Jesus, sitting at his feet. And she wasn't doing something wrong. She wasn't doing something sinful or evil. She was doing something good. But she was missing out on connecting with Jesus because of that thing. You know, when you get up to start your day and you just get on with your busyness of your day, probably good things, school, helping your family, going to work. But you get right off the bat with busy, but good things to do. You got to stop and try to imagine that Jesus is sitting in your room waiting to spend time with you and teach you, but you're too busy doing other things and you miss it. You miss that opportunity. He was there. He was right there and you could have spent that time with him. You know, we got to do all that other stuff and we got to get to it. But remember that the tree planted by the stream prospers in all they do. And that we can be so much better at the other areas of our life if we put first things first. Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really needed, which is our relationship with God. Now, Martha was doing what she knew was necessary, what she knew was important, and she was stressed and worried about it. And this wasn't optional stuff. She said, like, these preparations had to be made, and we've got stuff in our day that has to get done. I've got to pack my kids' school lunch. I got to get them to school. I don't have to exercise, but I really should. I got to work. I got lessons to write, studies to have, and appointments with people, phone calls to make, and emails to respond to, and texts, and homework to, not homework, but work in my home to do, and chores, and all sorts of stuff that has to be done. But if I do all that stuff and miss out on the one thing that's really needed, then I'm missing it. I'm missing Jesus. We got to be people like Mary who don't miss it, who take the opportunity every day to sit at Jesus's feet and listen to him. You know, and I love Jesus's tone with Martha. It's not anger. It's not putting guilt on her. It's love. It's helping her out. When we don't have our quiet time or if it's not going well right now, I don't think God is shaming you or, you know, putting you in a pressure cooker. I think he's just like, you know, brother, sister, whatever your name is, you're so busy with so many things, but you just need me. And God is just eager to connect with you and knows you need him and wants to help you out. And obviously the consequence of not doing that is great. But God is really just inviting us and appealing to us and trying to help us out. Few things are needed, indeed only one. We would do so well to have a conviction about that and to remember that. And so, you know, life is going to get busy, but we've got to make sure we're not too busy for what we're really here for, right? Let's choose what's better. We've got to do well in school, got to be good with our family, with our jobs. We've got to be devoted to the body and share our faith and be in Bible studies and have our discipling times and serve the poor. And we've got to do all this stuff. It's important, but let's not be so busy that we're not spending time with Jesus ourselves. And so I think a great thing to reflect on tonight would be, what are you too busy with that's keeping you from sitting at Jesus's feet? You know, so hopefully, you know, we build a conviction. This is what's most needed and most important in my life. And so hopefully you have that conviction and you're going to sit down every day to spend time at Jesus's feet in the Word of God. And so here's just some practical tips to help that to go well. You know, I think having a plan makes such a big difference. If you sit down and you're like, all right, I'm going to have my quiet time, and you have no idea what you're studying out, what you're going to read, you're probably going to spend as long as you should be reading your Bible figuring it out. You know, and I highly encourage you not to just do the verse of the day in the Bible app. It's better than nothing, but it's kind of directionless. And who knows, it's often not a well-balanced of scriptures. It's kind of just like, you know, gushy ones, which we need sometimes, but we need the whole counsel of God, the whole Word of God. I highly encourage you to come up with a plan. Come up with, maybe it's part of your routine, like on Sundays, you come up with a quiet time plan for the week. This week, I'm going to study out love. And you look up 30 verses on love and you say, I'm going to do 3 of them a day. You know, well, that's 10 days a week, but whatever, you get my point. I'm going to do, you know, 21 verses on love, 3 of them a day. You know, or I'm going to study out the book of Ephesians. It's 6 chapters. I'll do 1 chapter a day this week. Or I'm going to, you know, whatever it is, but come up with a plan, maybe for the month, for 3 months. Maybe I've done it many years. I just came up with my quiet time plan for the year because I was going to just read the Bible through in a year. I did that for 10 years in a row. So I knew what I was going to read every day for the whole year. So I got to just get right into it. You know, right now I'm doing more like kind of like month-long plans. So I'm figuring out what book am I going to study out and really having a plan. Maybe it's a topic. I'm going to study out love, boldness, discipline, compassion, right? Maybe that's kind of like a word study. You know, you pick a word and I'm going to study that out. Maybe a character study. I'm going to study out Abraham. I'm going to study out women in the Bible. I'm going to study out the life of Jesus. You do kind of a character study. Have a plan what you're going to study. But then also have a plan of when, where, and how. Can't be like, oh, I'll squeeze it in. Right? I really think the most biblically clear model is to have a focused quiet time in the morning. I don't think you have to do it that way, but Jesus got up early to spend time with God. We see David doing that. You know, it's just, it helps so much to show from the start of our day, this is what's most important. But when are you going to spend your time reading? How long is it going to be for? Where are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Really figuring out a plan. And with all of this, I just would encourage you to keep it simple. You know, I do think, you know, not having overly ambitious quiet time plans, maybe for Saturdays or something or your day off, but just going, okay, I'm going to read for this 15 or 20 minutes and then I'm going to pray for this amount of time. I'm not trying to put a quantifiable number on it. I'm just putting something out there. But, you know, I think just trying to keep it simple. And if you need help, use an outline, you know, find some quiet, like the Disciples Handbook has so many quiet times in it. So if it's hard for you to kind of have your own quiet time, get an outline for some and get some practice with that. You know, another practical to help it go well is to really focus, right? Do what you're doing. If you're doing your homework, do your homework. If you're spending time with someone, spend time with them. If you're sharing your faith, share your faith. If you're reading your Bible, read your Bible. Don't check social media. Don't do your homework. Don't check your email. Don't, right? I mean, maybe you could drink coffee and eat breakfast with it, but just really focus for that little bit of time that you're connecting with God. Make sure that you focus. That's why it's called a quiet time. You know, and as far as like, okay, so I've got my plan. This is what I'm going to read. Now, how do you really get the most from it? You know, and I really think it starts with just really engaged reading, that you're not just like reading quickly. And if you feel like it's hard for you to get something out of your quiet time, maybe you're reading too much. Maybe three chapters is too much, two chapters, maybe even one chapter is too much. You know, the point is to connect and grow. So the point is not just to read. So figure out what's a good length for you. You know, maybe it's just one story, one paragraph or one chapter. Figure out, here's what I'm going to read. And then really focus on it. And if you get to the end of the paragraph and you can't recall what you just read, read it again, read it slower. You know, and what I tend to do is I have my, you know, say I'm reading two paragraphs, right? And I'm really going to dig into that. I'll read it through semi-quickly and I'll underline anything that stands out to me. Ooh, that's a good sentence. Or, ooh, that was a good thing Jesus did there. Or what it says there. Ooh, that word really stands out to me. And so I'll just underline some stuff that stands out to me. And then you could go back and read it again a little slower. Maybe you even read it in a different translation, but you don't have to do that. But you could go back and read it again a little slower and then have somewhere to take notes on your phone or a physical notebook. And those things you underlined, really zoom in on those, you know, and try to understand, well, what is this saying and what can I get from this? And really trying to get the simple message of what the Bible is saying. And I think after you've read the chapter, after you've read the story, make sure you can summarize to yourself what you just read. What's the gist of it? What happened? What was it about? You know, and not like memorizing it or every detail, but you could recite, today I read about Jesus walking on water and Peter wanted to do that with him. And he was courageous enough to try, but then he lost sight of Jesus and got scared and started to sink. And then Jesus stepped in and saved him and said, where's your faith? And so if you could just kind of get a general gist of the story or of the paragraph, then you're like, hey, I really got this today. And, you know, I will add here, exegesis is so important. And that's a fancy word. But what that means is that you're pulling the meaning out of the text, not reading the meaning in. And so when you read the Bible, you want to go, what does the Bible say? What is it saying? Not what does it mean to me? What do I think this means? But what does it say? What does it mean? And then that's what it means for us and applying that to our life. And so, you know, after you've read it once or twice and you've underlined and taken a few little notes and you're like, okay, I get what it's saying, then have some reflection. You know, you don't need to ask all these questions every day. That might take too long, but just pick like one of these questions and ask yourself, what can I take from this, right? How should this affect my life? What is God trying to say to me today? Maybe write these questions down. These could be some good questions. You read something and ask, what can I learn about God from this? Well, God is compassionate. God is there for me when I fall. God is holy and deserves to be revered and feared and worshiped. You know, what do I learn about Jesus? And then, you know, asking more personal questions. How should this change me, change my life, change my heart, change my actions or my attitude? And maybe you ask, hey, is there a truth I need to learn from here? You know, the Bible's full of truth and teachings. Maybe there's just some truth we need to learn, you know, to re-solidify some sound doctrine or help us understand some false doctrine more clearly, or just some truth about people or about the world or about God. And always good to ask, how can I put this into practice today? You know, and really going, well, how can I live this out today? And again, keep it simple. I know all of this sounds complicated, but I'm really trying not to make it complicated. Read it, underline, take some notes. What did it say? What can I learn from it? Or how can I apply this to my life? I hope those are some good practicals. You know, if you're like, hey, I do that already, but I want to go deeper, here's some ideas. You know, read in multiple translations. Don't keep reading the NIV or whatever. Like, branch out, read the Holman Christian or the ESV or the NLT or the Passion Translation. Or, you know, if you're only reading one paragraph, maybe read it in three translations, really get some different angles on it. That could help. Get a commentary. You know, bestcommentaries.com is a great site to help you pick a good commentary. So if you're going to study out the book of John or Daniel or whatever, go there, pick a good commentary. It's usually like, you know, $10 used on Amazon. And you can read it, get something from it, but then read the commentary to get some help as well. You could get a Bible dictionary, an atlas, you know, different tools like that to help. You know, obviously, the more you could get to know the greater context, you know, you'll keep getting more and more from the Bible as you learn who wrote this, why did they write it, what was going on there. You know, and that's, I wouldn't start with that stuff, but, you know, as you mature spiritually, that's where you should definitely go. Learn to read different genres, right? To branch out in the Bible, to not just keep reading the same things. Just, I always read Psalms, right? But, you know, I always read Proverbs. Well, read something else, you know, read some of the historical narrative books in the Old Testament, or study out the book of Acts, read one of the Gospels, read some of the letters, learn to read the Psalms, or learn to read the prophets in the Old Testament. Those are challenging. It's helped me a lot to get a commentary with those. And, you know, as if you want to go deeper, branch out, start reading the Old Testament more, maybe get some commentaries and read different parts. My best advice, if you're a young Christian, would be to finish the New Testament first. You know, if you read one chapter a day, you can learn so much. It'll take you like almost a year, but just really, you got your whole life to keep reading the Bible, like just finishing the New Testament and then going back and reading the Old Testament. If it's hard for, sometimes when people just read the Old Testament, it can be hard to really connect and get something from it. So what's helped me is to read maybe like one chapter a day of the Old Testament and one chapter of the New Testament. So in case I didn't really get much from the Old Testament chapter, I'm, you know, getting something from the New Testament as well. So those are just some different suggestions for going deeper. I'm going to skip this passage for the sake of time. But this is a really important verse, which basically says, you know, mainly in verse 22 here, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. And I just want to emphasize that reading the Bible is only part of the battle. Putting it into practice is the rest of the battle. We can't just be people who know the word. We've got to be people who live it. We need to become a walking, living embodiment of the scriptures to be a light to the world around us, to really please God. There's plenty of people that know the Bible in and out, but don't live it out. And we got to be people who know it, but also live it. This is another great passage to have a deep, quiet time on. There's so much that you can get from this passage. So let's definitely be people who sit at Jesus's feet, choose what is better, and have great times in the Word of God. And I'm going to go a lot faster through this prayer point here. But, you know, after we've spent time listening to God, then we need to spend some time talking to God, or maybe you do that first, but getting some quality time in prayer. And I will say what I've learned talking to many disciples is that usually one of these comes more naturally to people than the other. Some people, it's easy to pray, hard to read. Easy to read, hard to pray. For me, it's easy to read, it's hard to pray. This is somewhere I've really had to continually repent, push myself, get out of my comfort zone, be humble, and grow is spending time in prayer, good time in prayer every day. I'm still working on it. And I really feel like I've seen growth, but it's important that we don't just lean into the one we're stronger in. It's important to both hear and speak with God, the dialogue to go both ways, and to learn how to pray better. Prayer was a very focused and deliberate part of Jesus's life. You know, if you just go on Bible Gateway and type in pray, it's amazing. You can go through the Gospels and see how much it mentions Jesus praying. It's convicting. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus's life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus was laying a great example for us to often pray, to get up early and pray, to frequently withdraw and pray in the morning and even during the day, and to really pour our hearts out to God and to be personal and to be connected with God in our prayer lives. You know, this was the example he set for us. You know, just a couple other verses on prayer, and then I'll have some quick practicals and we'll wrap it up here. But we got to pray with faith. You know, Jesus said, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You know, this verse tells me that our prayer lives should be powerful. We should be praying with faith, praying, believing that God will answer. God can hear us. God can work through us, that we should be praying for things we want to see God do, asking God to work through us, to change things in the world, to do miracles, to help us in our lives, to change others. We should really be praying, not just these lame, boring prayers that are monotonous and the same every day, but these mountain-moving prayers where we're praying for God to work, to work on us, to work through us. And so we got to pray with faith, believing that God hears us and God wants to answer us and work through us. You know, you can write down 1 John 5:14 and Psalm 66:18. 1 John 5 tells us that God will answer our prayers according to his will. And so we can trust that. We can pray something and God's going to answer it according to his will. If it's not his will, he'll say no, or not yet. If it is his will, then he'll say yes, if we pray with faith. But Psalm 66:18 also says that if we have cherished sin in our heart, then he will not listen to our prayers. And that's convicting, but we got to go to God first in humility and confession. And like Jesus did, not having cherished sin in our hearts, but really, you know, in reverence to God. You know, but most of the time, I think God is just waiting for us to pray more faithfully, to pray more boldly. You know, in James chapter 2, it even says, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, it's with the wrong motives. And so we have a God who tells us, ask and it will be given to you. He really wants to answer and work through us. But we got to pray spiritual prayers and pray faithful prayers. You know, Jesus set an example for us to pray, and he even teaches us to pray. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's Luke 8. You can study out verses 1 to 8. A little bit more on a great parable about prayer that Jesus taught. This is all out of whack. There we go. So here's some prayer practicals. Again, focus, distractions away, figuring out where am I going to pray? How am I going to pray? And trying different things. You know, when I pray in my head, I get super distracted. I forget I'm praying. I need to pray out loud. And I do so much better when I'm walking and praying. Some people can't do that. They need to sit. You know, you got to figure out how do you best focus and connect and figure out a good plan for that. You know, Chelsea does so well writing out prayer. She has a Tupperware bin filled with prayer journals in our attic. She's written thousands of pages of prayers to God. You know, I don't do as well with that, but that works great for her. We got to We got to figure out the best mode of communication for us to pray and really prioritize that and do that. I do think we should have a solid prayer time in our day. You know, a clear time where we connect, where we're focused. Maybe it's, you know, in the morning or whatever. I think that's the best time, but it's like, okay, this is my prayer time. But then that's not the only time we pray. Throughout the day, we say little minute prayers, one sentence prayers. You know, Jesus often withdrew, and maybe you're going from one class to another, to a study, to D time, whatever, and you're getting stressed or overwhelmed, and you just got to learn to step aside for 2 minutes and go, you know, let me just pull into the bathroom here. Let me just pull into, you know, this quiet part of the sidewalk in this closed storefront entryway here. Let me, you know, pull over in my car, like just often withdrawing and not just rushing through your day, but going, you know, let me just pray for a minute in between things and having little prayers throughout the day. I said like marriage because, you know, Chelsea and I, we really do need like a time every day that we just talk, and it might only be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Sometimes it's longer, but we've got to connect. But then that's not the only time we talk. There's quick texts or phone calls or chatting in between taking care of the kids. You know, that's a good relationship. You need that focus time and then communication throughout the day. You know, Luke 11, 1-4, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And he gives them some things to pray about. In verse 2, it says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not in temptation. I don't think Jesus was giving this as a verbatim prayer to pray, although you could, because we see other prayers of his where he doesn't say this. So, you know, we should come up with our own prayers from our heart and our mind and our life. But he does give us some things to pray about and a good example here. And, you know, I think the things we should pray about are, you know, prayers that help us connect with God, praise God, thanking God. You know, that's the hallowed be your name there. And prayers where we confess to God, where we seek help and we seek wisdom and we seek strength from God with things we're dealing with or stressed about or need help with or are going through. Where time where we pray for others, pray for things going on in other people's lives and pray for people in our lives. Times where we cast our anxiety on God, where we entrust to him and surrender to him and appeal to him for the things that we're anxious or stressed about, overwhelmed by. Praying for what we need, praying for our needs, requests, you know, dreams and visions that we have, things we want to see God do, miracles. Praying for our day, the things we're going to do in that day. I do that every day, pray through my day. And even times of begging God, really appealing to him to work and to answer something in your life. But you know, these are all things that should be part of our daily prayers, are frequently part of our prayer lives. You know, but what's amazing is God hears our prayers and then he answers according to his will and according to our faith. You know, I've seen God answer some encouraging prayers recently. You know, I've been praying a lot for my character and mostly to be more patient at home with my kids. And I really feel like God has been answering that. I feel like I've, you know, I'm not perfect, but I really feel like I'm so much more patient as a father in my home. But that's, I've been begging God, praying for that almost every day for weeks, you know, and I really feel like I'm seeing God change my character, change who I am in my home. You know, praying so much this year for God to make it clear where we should live and where the best place for our kids to go to school is. And God made it abundantly clear the best schools for my kids. And we were doubtful. But he made it clear, and it's so obvious now that that was the hand of God. You know, praying for this campus region, should we do this or not? And for God to bless it and for it to be glorious for him, you know, and we didn't know if it was going to, you know, pull through or not, but God answered those prayers. And now we have this campus region and we're a month into it. And, you know, earlier this year, I was just praying, God, open the door, shut the door. I don't know if this is your will or not, but here we are doing it. You know, we've been holding it down as a suburban family with two kids for almost 2 years with just one vehicle, and it's gotten challenging. And we realized we need a minivan for our kids so we can transport you guys in and out of the city to come visit us, whatever. But we have so much going on in our life. Minivans are super overpriced right now, used ones. And I just said, you know what? I can't do this right now. There's too much going on. And I started praying a few times a week, God, just plop a great minivan for a great price right on my lap out of nowhere. After about 2 weeks of praying that, a brother out in West Jersey texted me and said, Rob, thought of you, do you need a minivan? And he sold it to me for the price I was looking to buy one in. That was like a really like cross my fingers, hope I can find one this price. And it's worth way more than what he sold it to me for. It was such an amazing gift from God, just answering that prayer that I prayed by faith and staying focused on serving him and my family. Today, I've been going to campus every week, a few times a week, and we've been trying to meet somebody to study the Bible with at NYU. And today, Caleb and I, we've been sharing our faith for, we prayed, God, help us meet two guys that are free and open to study the Bible between 10:30 and 1:30 every Wednesday. And so we prayed that because we wanted to fill that time with actually studying the Bible with some guys. So we went out sharing our faith. And, after a few people, Caleb met one guy who said, I have a class at 9:30 and then I'm free till 2. I would love to do Bible studies. And so he's free to study in that time slot. Kid you not, the next guy that, Caleb talked to him, the next guy I talked to, free during that same time. We had a great conversation. He was super interested in studying the Bible. And he's free and wants to study the Bible in that window as well. Specific prayers, and God answered it. I don't think, we should have these robotic prayer times where we say the same thing, the same way, the same order every day. But it is good to have a plan of what we're going to pray through. And, and also maybe some days to change it up. Pray for some things some days, some things other days. What helps me a lot, too, is having one day a week that I have a special prayer time. What that means is I go out for a longer prayer walk than normal. And that for me is Monday mornings. I think you have your normal quiet times every day. And then maybe once a week, you go out and you have a special time with God. And so I hope these were some helpful practicals for you. And I really believe consistency is the biggest factor here. It's not having these wow quiet times every day. It's just every day you sit at Jesus's feet. Every day you speak to your Heavenly Father, and doing that every single day, week after week, month after month, year after year, will absolutely turn you into somebody who is becoming more and more like Jesus. And so, two reflection questions for you tonight. One, how is God calling you closer to Him today? Is it in your prayer life? Is it in your personal Bible study? And what before you go to bed tonight, figure out what is one or two practical steps you can take to grow in your personal Bible study? And what's one or two practical steps you could take to grow in your personal prayer times? Guys, I hope this was inspiring for you. I hope it was helpful. If you have more questions or anything, please let me know. I also meant to share this, that we have a new resource folder up on our website. So you could go to nyccoc.net/citycampus. And you'll see campus resource folder. You could click that, and in there, we're going to be filling that with Bible study resources, quiet time material. I put in there a chronological breakdown of the books of the Bible. So if you want to kind of read it more chronologically or figure out where what book you're reading fits in the overall Bible story, that's a one-page sheet that could be helpful. But guys, let's really be like trees planted by a stream, sitting at Jesus's feet, and spending that great time, quality time with Him every day. Amen.